and love this passage of Scripture. And this message has helped me and encouraged me as I've preached it a few times now. And I pray that it will do the same for you. And I'm going to begin reading in chapter number 7 and verse number 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand ye in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there His word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you tonight for the opportunity to preach. I pray, God, that you would cleanse my heart and mind of anything that may hinder me from your Holy Spirit's direction tonight. Help me to preach with power and with love and with a sound mind. And we'll thank you for it, Father, for truly we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. And with the help of the Lord tonight, from just these four verses that I've read from the seventh chapter of the book of Jeremiah, I'd like to preach on this thought, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, amen. The Bible says that the word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, amen. And you know, I think about these Easter tracts that we've got to hand out, and there may be some people that will show up on Sunday and they'll be drawn by how good-looking this thing is, amen. Now, the young lady, Allison, that designed these, you know, she did a good job with the graphic design, and she went to school for it and whatnot, and she tries to make it very aesthetically pleasing, you know. But, you know, the front right here, that's not what the design, that's not what's important behind this thing, amen. What's important is the fact that it has Scripture on the front, it's got Scripture on the back, it's got the Gospel on it, and as the printed Word of God goes forth, that is what's going to prick hearts, that is what's going to convict hearts, and that is what's going to show people and direct people to the house of God on Sunday morning, ultimately, amen. It's all about the Word of God. And here we have this man Jeremiah who stood in a day of wickedness, in a day of idolatry, when the people of God, rather than serving God, they were serving idols. And Jeremiah, he decides that he's going to stand up as a preacher of the righteousness of God, that he's going to stand for the holiness of God, that he's going to call out Israel on their sin, that he's going to proclaim the transgression of the daughters of Jerusalem among them, and that he's going to preach the Word of God, amen. And God gives Jeremiah himself commission right here in the seventh chapter, and he tells him what to preach, amen. He tells him what to do. He tells him what to preach. And the Bible says, I want to notice right here in verse number 1, the origin of God's Word, the Bible says, the Word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying. I remind you that our Bible tells us in 2 Peter in chapter number 1, it says, "For we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do dwell, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." See, the Bible critics, they would take this book and they would say, well, there were so many authors and they were just men just like you and I, and there was nothing different from them, so that book has to have errors in it. But when you question them, when you put them on the spot and you say, show me one error, show me one contradiction in that book, they can't seem to put their fingers on it, amen? They can't seem to explain it, how we can flip on our television sets and we can go to these 24-hour news networks and it seems like everyone is filled up with things going on in the Middle East and things concerning prophecy and things that the Bible told us thousands of years ago were going to happen. They can't seem to explain it. And why is that? It's because it is not the will of man. It's not the words of men. It is the spoken Word of God that He gave to faithful men full of the Holy Ghost and instructed them to pen. Amen. I believe that in the King James Bible we have the preserved Word of God here this evening. I reference this Scripture all the time in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. The Bible says, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of the Lord shall stand forever." And long after you and I are gone and we're put in a pine box 6 feet under the ground, the Word of God will still be here, and it will still be just as powerful as ever. Amen. But the Bible says in verse number 1 of Jeremiah 7 that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I'm thankful for a man of God who listens to God's word and listens to God's instruction and preaches what God tells him to preach. Because I'll tell you this, there have been times that I have left the pulpit not feeling like I have preached what God told me to preach. I preached the message that I felt like I was comfortable preaching. Amen. I preached the message I felt that I had studied enough for, and I didn't necessarily follow the leading of the Holy Ghost of God. And you want to find yourself in a miserable place. It's when you don't follow the direction of God. But this man, he listened, and the Bible says that the word of the Lord came into Jeremiah and tells him what to preach. And the first thing that I want us to notice just from these four verses, this passage of Scripture that we've read here this evening, is that what we need to do is firstly hear His word. We need to hear His word. Look with me in verse number 2. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Now, Jeremiah's preaching this to church folk, isn't he? He's preaching to the congregation of the Lord. He's preaching to the people who are coming to the temple to worship God. He says, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim His word and say, He gives him the words to say. What's it say? Say it with me. Hear the word of the Lord. He says, hear the word of the Lord. You can never hear too much Bible. You can never hear too much of the word of the Lord. What's the Bible say? It says in the book of Romans, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We were talking about just a couple weeks ago, and every once in a while the subject comes up around here, grass cutting. And they said, it is a chore, it is a job. And you know, grass cutting, as physically tasking as it is, it's almost therapeutic to me. Because I'm not, you know, my heart's not constrained or dealing with the personal or deep spiritual matters of life. The only thing I'm concerned with is getting that grass a little bit shorter. And I can think and I can pray while I'm cutting grass. And I tell you what I like to do is I like to put in headphones and listen to preaching. That's what I like to do. I like to listen to preaching while I'm cutting grass because I don't believe you can hear too much of it, amen? When I'm driving in my car, I like to listen to preaching, amen? When I'm at my house and I feel like it's awful quiet and I need some kind of background sound or something, I'll just put on a sermon and start listening to it while I'm cooking or while I'm cleaning or while I'm doing laundry, while I'm doing anything. I will listen to preaching because I believe that spiritually it is beneficial for me, amen? I believe that it's beneficial for us to hear the Word of God. And many of people, you can ask preachers, you can ask people, many of people, do you think when they hear preaching, it goes in one ear and out the other? And some people, when they hear the preaching of the Word of God, they don't take it seriously. It don't even make it that far. It goes in one ear and out the same ear. But I'm here to tell you tonight that Jeremiah, as he comes before the gates of the house of the Lord and he's proclaiming God's word to the people, he tells them, he says, hear the word of the Lord. It's important for us tonight that we hear His word. The Bible says in the second proverb, and I love this passage of Scripture, the Bible says this, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, listen to this, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and thine heart unto understanding. He says, incline your ear unto wisdom and your heart unto understanding. We cannot expect to walk in the grace of God and walk in fellowship with God and walk in the wisdom of God and walk discerning the holy things of God if we are not hearing His word. Amen. If we're not inclining our ears to wisdom. That goes for reading your Bible too. You're reading the Bible to yourself. You're hearing the Word of God. The Word of God is going through you. The Bible says that we are washed by the water that is the Word. We're made clean by the water. Amen. We need to hear the Word of God. It's good for us. It helps us to filter out the filth of this world. I heard a story one time about a young boy. And his dad was a farmer, and his mom, she made those wicker baskets. You know what I'm talking about? She made those wicker baskets, and this farmer, he had a whole pile of baskets out by their house that she had made. And he told that boy, he said, "Son," he said, "I want you to take this basket," and he said, "I want you to go fill it up full of water and bring it to me." This is a wicker basket we're talking about. And the boy listened to his father. He's obedient. He runs down to the pond, and he gets a big old scoop of water, and he pulls it out. And as he's running it back to his dad, it's just running right through there, isn't it? It's just all that water is running out, and he gets there to him, and he said, "Well, there's no water in it." He said, "Go try again." And he goes back, and he does it again. And by this point, the boy, he's determined to get some water back to his dad, so he runs faster thinking that'll work, but he slings all the water out of it, and it runs right through the bottom of it because it's a wicker basket. And he gets to his dad, and he says, "Dad," he said, I can't get water with this thing." He said, "That's okay. It's a lot cleaner now." And you might come to church. You might make the effort to come out to church on a Wednesday night for prayer meeting, knowing the preaching's going on. And you might leave here tonight thinking to yourself, "Well, I don't know if I retained any of that. I don't know if I carried any of that with me. I don't know if I got anything out of that." You might read your Bible and you stay up and you're tired at night and you want to go to bed, but you know that you've committed to read so much Scripture and you have to reach that point. Or maybe you're reading in the genealogies. Maybe you're reading in the Pentateuch. Maybe you're reading of the 10 chapters of the prophets where it talks about the dimensions of the temple, and you think, "I'm not getting anything out of this." I can promise you that it's making you cleaner, amen? I can promise you that God is using it to cleanse your soul from the fiery darts of the devil that have stuck, amen? We need to hear the Word of God. That second proverb, it said, "Incline thine ear unto wisdom, and thine heart unto understanding." It's not enough just for us to hear the Word of God. Look at the message that God gave Jeremiah back in our Scripture in Jeremiah chapter number 7. "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim there His Word, and say, Hear the Word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at the gates to worship the Lord." Listen to this. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." Not only should we hear the Word of God, we should hearken unto the Word of God. We should hearken to the Word of God. Amen. You say, "What's that word hearken mean?" That's a King James Bible word. That means to adhere to something. That means to listen to something. That means to make application for something. One of my favorite study tools, that 1828 Webster's Dictionary, he defines it this way. He says, "To rectify by expunging a mistake, to correct, to make better in a moral sense." That's how he defines the word amend that God uses in this passage of Scripture. Amen? Let me read that definition one more time. Let me read that one more time and let it sink in for us. To rectify by expunging a mistake. Amen? Blotting out a mistake. To correct, to make better in a moral sense. Amen? You know what God is saying to the people of Israel? He says, "Hear the word of the God." He says, "Hear the word of the Lord and amend your ways." You know what He's saying? He's saying, "You have made sinful mistakes, but I can get rid of those." He said, "I can get rid of those. I can make it better." Amen. He's saying, "You're morally corrupt and there's nothing good about you." The Bible says, Paul said, "In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." But God says, "I can still use you. I can still change you. I can still make things better. I can still fix these things." These things that we can't fix about ourselves, God can change and God can make us better. Amen? The Bible tells us if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Hallelujah. And we're still going to make mistakes in this wicked old sinful flesh, but I'm glad that God, through His Word, through His direction, that if not only we hear His Word, but if we make a decision that we're going to hearken to His Word, He can help us amend our ways. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." We hear the Word of God, And how many times, and you might not literally say this to yourself, or these words might not literally exit your mouth, but I'll tell you what we do, is we do it with our actions. We say, God, I know better. God, that way it doesn't seem as easy as the way I'm doing it now. We might not literally say these things to God, but we do with our actions all the time. But God says, amend your ways and your doings. He said, not only preach, not only hear the Word of God, but hearken to the Word of God. Amen. And if you read your Bibles in Jeremiah, you go a little bit further into Jeremiah chapter number 35, you see the end result of what happens when they decide not to listen to God. Brother, we are in a dangerous place when we make a conscious effort, when God tells us to do something and we don't listen and we're stubborn and we're hard-hearted and we're stiff-necked. When that happens, God brings judgment on our lives. We see the end result in Jeremiah chapter 35 right there. And Jeremiah, he's preaching to these people and he's imploring. He is beseeching the people of God to hear the word of the Lord and to hearken to the word of the Lord. And lastly, I'll finish with this. Verse number 4. Trust ye not in lying words. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Now, when I first read that passage of Scripture, I had no clue what Jeremiah was talking about. I had no clue what that phrase meant. I had no clue why God said that. So it required a little bit of study. So I was reading commentaries and I was reading Bible exposition books on what God is saying through that. And in my study, what I found was a cross-reference. And right here in this Scofield Study Bible I got, he cross-referenced it to another place in Micah in chapter number 3 in verse 11, where that prophet and that preacher, that man of God, is dealing with these same things. And what that scripture says, if you go over there into Micah chapter number 3 concerning that phrase that you find in verse number 4, is this. He says, the heads thereof judge for reward. He's speaking of the people of God and he's speaking of the work of the temple. He said, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. He said, yet they will lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. And what I believe that Jeremiah is saying in this passage of Scripture as he talks to the people of God is not only that they need to hear the Word of God, not only that they need to hearken to the Word of God, but that they need to hold on to the Word of God. What's it say right there in your Bible? The Bible says in Jeremiah 7, verse number 4, trust ye not in lying words. Jeremiah and Micah are dealing with preachers just like the ones that we're dealing with in today's day and age. They say, everything's going to be okay if you sow your seeds and you send me this $1,000 check. They say, everything's going to be okay if you buy this prayer hanky and I pray it over and I can do this for you. They say, everything's going to be okay if you do this and you do that and you just be the best you. There was a preacher down in Houston, Texas. He wrote a big famous book and made millions of dollars off of it. And I think the name of it was Live Your Best Life Now. Man, if you're living your best life now here on earth, I'd hate to see the life that you're looking forward to. Amen? Because I know one of these days that I'm going to heaven and I'm going to receive a glorified body and I'm literally going to be in the presence of God. Hey, that's my best life. That's what I'm looking forward to. Amen? And these people, they're so foolish, they believe it, they gobble it up, and well-meaning people with hearts that have the right intents, they find these things and they believe these things, and Satan is sowing tares among the wheat. Amen? We need to hold on to the truth of God's Word. We need to hold on to what this Bible says. And if there ever comes a day that I would preach something that doesn't come from that book, then shame on me, because I'm the one who's wrong, not God. He says, hold on to the Word of God. He says, trust not in lying words. We live in a day and age where there's churches up and down Route 60 and up and down through Kentucky and 64 and West Virginia and all over on every corner of this earth, and they're teaching that you got to work to be saved. They're teaching that you got to be baptized to go to heaven. They're teaching that you can give a certain amount of money and to get your loved ones out of hell. And they're teaching things that are not coming from the Bible. The Bible says that the devil is the father of lies, and they're just feeding you the lies of the devil. They're doing everything they can to deceive you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, "Yea, and they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Paul's telling Timothy the same thing that Jeremiah is telling us tonight. Hold on to the Word of God. Hold on to the truth of God's Word, because, friend, that's all we've got in this day and age. That's all we have, is this book right here. This is our foundation. This is our resource for all matters of faith and practice. There's not one question in this world that this book doesn't answer. God's given us everything that we need to know right between these pages. And He urges us tonight to hold on to the Word of God. And you won't hear Joel Osteen preach that. You won't hear the Joy Boys on TV. You won't hear them preach that. Because I tell you, there's times that preaching makes me uncomfortable. Amen? In a good way. I like the kind of preaching that steps on my toes. It makes me uncomfortable. Amen? Because I know God's dealing with me and saying, Mike, I love you. You need to get that right. You need to deal with this in your life. You need to change this in your life. You need to amend your ways and your doing. And I like what it says right there in verse number 3. It says, "And I will dwell in this place." Oh, how wonderful it would be to dwell in the presence of God, to have God present with us in our services and even outside. We leave these doors and we're knocking on doors and we're praying in the late night hours. Anytime we seek God's face to have His fellowship just like that, we've got to have our hearts clean. We've got to have our hearts right. And Jeremiah, he says we need to hear the Word of God, we need to hearken to the Word of God, and we need to hold on to the Word of God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder how many people in the church tonight are like me and say, "Preacher, I need to do a better job of hearing the Word of God. I need to do a better job of hearkening to the Word of God. And I need to do a better job of holding on to the Word of God. I got both my hands up right now." God bless you. Bless your heart. Well, I'm going to pray for us that God will help us, but I wonder if there'd be anybody in here tonight. I'd hate to dismiss without giving an invitation. If there's anybody in here tonight that's unsure that if you were to draw your final dying breath right this moment, that heaven would be your home. Say, "Preacher, I don't know that I've ever been born again. I don't know that I've ever been saved." Is anybody in here like that? Just slip up her hand and say, "Pray for me." Now, I believe there's a testimony of salvation for everybody in here. I hope and I pray that that's the case, but you forgive me for always wanting to give an invitation. I never want to take that for granted. Amen? Let's pray that God will help us. Lord, we love You. God, we thank You for Your Word. God, without Your Word, we're lost sheep. We are wandering in darkness on our own, but God, You've given us everything we need right here in this book, God. And Lord, I pray that You help us to hold on to it. Lord, we read and we understand the great sacrifices that it took to bring this book to us. And God, we love it tonight. And Lord, it means everything to us, Lord, because it's Your precious Word. And God, I pray that You would help us, Father, Lord, to hear more of it, to study it more, to seek to understand it better. And Lord, in doing so, to seek and to understand more about Your love and Your grace and Your will for our lives. God, help us to hear it. Lord, help us not just to incline our ears to wisdom, but Lord, our hearts to understanding, Lord, that we might be filled with Your Holy Spirit, that we might walk in the glory of God each and every single day. God, help us to hold on to it. Challenge us through Your Word to be more like You. Cleanse us, Father, Lord. Remove from us anything that's there that shouldn't be there, God, that might hinder our walk with You. Lord, we love You and we thank You for this time together. Keep us safe as we make our way home tonight. We thank You for all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.